Thanks for joining with us at Homilies from Holy Cross. Holy Cross Catholic Church is a parish in Kernersville, North Carolina, within the Diocese of Charlotte. Our podcast is a daily way for us to hear the gospel proclaimed and the word preached. So we're going to dive in and see what God wants to speak to our hearts today. So I want to focus today on the first reading, because we see something very interesting when Paul's preaching of the gospel is rejected. We run into this a lot within our own culture, where we might have the good news to share, but then it falls on ears that aren't ready to hear it. So the first reading comes from Acts chapter 17. The introduction is verse 15, and then it jumps to verses 22 to the beginning of chapter 18. Those who conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they departed. So Paul, standing in the middle of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship is unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all men life and breath and everything. And he made from one every nation of men to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods in the boundaries of their habitation, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel after him and find him. Yet he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, a representation by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all men by raising him from the dead. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, 'We will hear you again about this at another time.' So Paul went out from among them. But some men joined him and believed, among them Dionysius and Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with him. After this, he left Athens and went to Corinth." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So some background about being in the Areopagus here in Greece is that everyone in Greece in the Mesopotamia at that time worshipped some pagan god. So they had the god of love, the god of war, the god of harvesting, the god of reaping, the god of sowing, the god of fashion, the god of for each different type of work. And there was some legend, some myth, some story about why that god became associated with those things. And each family, depending on their own history, their own work, their own craft passed on from generation to generation, each of them had, even in their own homes, little temples erected for that god, and they would offer sacrifice to those gods. But so that they might not offend any of the gods that were not yet known to them, they had a temple to the unknown god. And so Paul uses this in order to begin his preaching of Jesus Christ. You have all your gods. Let me tell you who the true God is, this unknown God. Let me reveal him to you as he's been revealed to me. Right? We would think that this would be a great place to start. Right? That everyone's gathered around in the Areopagus. They're wondering, you know, this stranger. They're bringing him in, and he begins to preach the message of Jesus Christ. Notice the three reactions. When they heard of the resurrection, this is chapter 17, verses 32. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, right? So you have some that just said, this guy's crazy, you know, let's not have anything to do with him. But others said, we will hear you again about this at another time, right? This right here shows that some were curious. Kind of the hook was placed, and they said, Okay, we'll hear you, but we don't have time right now. We're here at the market. We're here in the central square in order to, you know, buy bread and wine and some meat so that we can have dinner tonight, you know, whatever it be. But some men joined him, verse 33. So Paul went out from among them, but some men joined him and believed. Right? And it names two of the disciples, one of the names that I butchered completely, and also a woman whose name I also butchered. But you can pull out your own scriptures and try and figure out how to pronounce it yourself. So Paul went out from them. Notice what he did. He didn't stay there and start belaboring his point. He didn't say, wait, let me tell you more about him. He just said, I preach the gospel. That's all that I've been called to do. And he leaves. And notice that those who come to believe, those whose hearts have been prepared to receive that message, they follow after him. And so really, we should never think that the living of our faith, the preaching of the gospel, the sowing of the seeds that we do within our own family, our own friendships, we should never think that they're completely useless. If somebody doesn't convert right away, or if somebody doesn't change their life right away, or they don't follow after Christ zealously right away, we move on to the next place that God calls us. We move on to the next activity, to the next field that is fertile and ready to receive those seeds of God's word. Paul shows us here that when somebody doesn't listen, he just moves on. The Holy Spirit hasn't called him to do anything else but to just make that initial proclamation of the faith. As I said in another video, this was the kerygma, that first proclamation, the first preaching of the good news, and let it sit. Later on, he can trust that other apostles will go, and disciples, and priests, and deacons. Some will be martyred, some will be heeded. And so he entrusts the work of God to God himself, to the Holy Spirit. And he sees himself as just a weak instrument that just does what he can to serve. In conclusion, let us go ahead and pray together the St. Michael prayer, as well as the intercessory prayer that the bishop sent to the priest to be prayed during the coronavirus outbreak. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of soul. Amen. Merciful Father, through the intercession of Blessed Mary, St. Roch, and St. Rosalie, deliver us from the current attack and subsequent suffering we are enduring from the coronavirus. May we seek to assist those in need in body or spirit, and ourselves turn away from sin and trust in you. We ask this in the name of the Divine Physician, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.